This recording is a production of the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee. This presentation was recorded at Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute 2020, held in Belleville, Pennsylvania on March 6 and 7.
I thank you all for coming and for quieting down. It is a blessing to think about board concepts. I have served on three mission boards for over 20 years and two school boards for over 30 and over 40 with our local pastoral team. So I've been in meetings many times in my adult life, and I have learned to enjoy them, sometimes to endure them, but mostly to enjoy them. I read in a book here, Meetings That Work, of a revival speaker who attended a church, and he stood in the back after a church service or Sunday morning service, and he heard the pastors talking about whether they would have a meeting. And so the one said, "Oh, we don't have anything very major on the agenda. I think we could just get by with a 10-minute stand-up meeting." And somebody else readily agreed, and so they quickly had a meeting there in the back of the church. Never mind that they weren't able to sit down and pray over the needs that the congregation was facing. Never mind that they weren't able to shake the hands of the parishioners that were filing out. But they were just intent on cutting out this meeting or getting it as short as they could so that they could get on with the rest of the business of life. And unfortunately, I believe that too many times in the Christian church, people do just that. They disparage the gathering of people in meetings. They don't understand all of the dynamics, and maybe they learn to dread it for various reasons, things that aren't quite adequately in place, the respects of people and positions and so on. And so, for whatever all the reasons are, meetings are just about as popular as Adolf Hitler, say, or something like that. When in reality, committees and boards and pastoral teams, if they can take their responsibilities well, take their responsibilities seriously, and serve well, then the hand of the Lord will be upon their efforts and their organizational efforts. And so I call us all to lay aside those ideas that would militate against effective board work. And I want to talk to you today about some of the hats that we wear as board members. I believe that a recurrent issue plaguing our private Christian schools has been the lack of effective governance by the board of directors. Sometimes one or two people are elected or appointed to the board, and soon after the head teacher loses his job and the school suffers. Unfortunately, personal agendas and petty politics and power plays are common. Board governance and board member conduct should serve as a model for our Christian schools, a model of Christian behavior for our young people and students, for the staff, also for the parents and the community, but especially the students. A healthy respect for the position of a director, and by use of director, I mean the board member, and a dedication to personal and team ethics is needed at the governance leadership level. And it's by every board member. We all need to join together with a healthy respect for the office of the board member. This positional respect includes a reverence for the God that we serve. And while there are several models of governance that are quite effective, the bottom line is the quality of the individuals who serve. The procedural boundaries that they observe, and the relational ethics by which they live, between them also and the head of the school. So effective board leadership mobilizes action to further the mission of the school. To equip teachers and to raise the funds, yes. To help the school adapt to changing circumstances and to respond to crises that come. To identify opportunities for change and growth. These are all board opportunities and responsibilities. To create future leaders. Someone once said, so while I talk about the responsibilities, let's come back to the idea of respect for the office and respect for the individuals that we serve with. Someone once said, culture eats strategy for breakfast, unquote. Even if a board does everything else right, if they can still fail in their leadership if they pay no attention to culture. And by culture, I mean respect. I mean communication and transparency. I mean learning from conflict and debate. You know, civility without debate may mean that the board admits only like-minded people to the board, or that only a few are the real decision makers. But conversely, debate with civility often reflects individual agendas that are not really motivated by a concern for mission and rarely leads to better decisions. So we want to have both civility and debate. That is, we're respectful to each other, we extend mutual trust to each other, and we engage in debate of ideas to find the Lord's direction. So trust and the ability to take risks should be added to this thing I'm calling culture, board culture. So if we have respect and communication and learning from each other in debate and combine it with trust, we will have a culture that can be a blessing for our communities. So hats that board members wear. The first hat that I want to talk about today is governance. This is the essence of board work. At the onset of a board meeting, it's wise to acknowledge the challenging decisions, problems, and needs of the school and bring them to the Lord God in prayer. So the first governance role for the board is to exercise spiritual discernment to discover God's will for the school and to pray for those problem areas, to bring them to God. We may often fail to not start where we ought to start. You know, I served many years on our pastoral team, and we did some things well. We were faithful in meeting, regular in meeting. We learned to debate ideas respectfully. But one thing we only relatively lately added to our agenda is to start the meeting with bringing the needs of the congregation to God in prayer together. I think school boards sometimes may also overlook this important spiritual dimension. You know, secondly, the board is to establish the mission, vision, and values of the school. This is something that sometimes comes as quickly as what Sheldon said this morning, but sometimes these kinds of meetings can take several meetings to refine and develop the mission, vision, and value of the school. I want to talk about vision this afternoon, but to establish the mission and vision and values. I think our school's mission in a short little sentence is equipping young people or children for Christian service. We worked at that over some time along with other agenda items some years ago. Board members hire, support, and evaluate the principal. You know, it may vary some. Some of our schools are so small that we don't have a full-time principal. Many of our schools are that way. And so we might have a head teacher, but it's good, it's right for us to appoint that person that's got the feet on the ground and to authorize him or her to lead out in a way that gives the school security. And so job descriptions, as were indicated, are important here, but the school board's role here is to hire and then support by writing out job descriptions and other means, and to seek to nurture that relationship, for it is the most significant relationship in a school, is the relationship of the head teacher and the board. And Satan will do his worst to attack that, to cause divisions and so on. So board members, I call you all to a commitment to nurture that relationship so that that person knows that he can turn to somebody that will care. Even if sometimes he needs to hear some words of redirection or correction, but he has the relationship that makes him secure as he faces the criticisms that may come. So to hire, support, and evaluate the principal, I mention this because sometimes, I know one time in our school's experience, we had a situation where a principal lost the trust of a number of parents. And one year maybe it was one or two, and the next year it was three or four, and finally we realized that this thing is spreading and he's lost his trust. And as we work through it, it ends up that we sought and accepted his resignation. And so in a lot of ways, I feel very sad about that, for he was a man of gifting, and had been a blessing for quite a while. But we thought afterward as a board that if we would have put annual reviews in place in the good times, that would have possibly helped us avoid what we developed here. So I say, boards, hire, support, and evaluate the principal and or staff, however you choose to designate. And set policies and oversee programs. These are core responsibilities of the board to decide. And, well, we'll talk more about policies this afternoon, but to oversee the school programs and to ensure the legal and financial and spiritual integrity of the school. So that, I guess it's given, it's a given, we almost assume this, but as we understand this, then it raises the bar of respect for the position, because we have under our care this organization with all its people. And we're representatives of the church and representatives of the parents and the community. We're representative of these people, and we're to ensure that things are done well. And so the integrity spiritually and financially and legally is ours. I sat on a board in the last 10 years, and we had set up some councils of reference, a pastoral council and a advisory council. And one day at the advisory council meeting, one advisor said, "I don't care about all these financial reports. I just want to get after the real mission of the school." And I told the board the next day when we gathered alone, because I don't want to hear that around here. Somebody else can say it, but for us, we have to shoulder up this responsibility. We can't say, I don't care about those kinds of things, because we have been entrusted to oversee so that God's will and the work of all the supporters, the work of all of the teachers can go forward. So, while I don't want to overweight it down, something that I couldn't do, you couldn't do, I just want to say, let's see that it is our responsibility as board members to be stewards for God. And then to develop a strong board of learning members. You know, I decry. If they've got a situation where somebody comes joining the board because, well, he hasn't served before and it's about his turn. You know, I'm all for turns and people taking their responsibilities well. But when it comes to board service, I'm coming to understand that we need people with passion for this ministry. We need people that are visionary. We need people that care. And so there are all these boards and all these good mission programs and all these things that can be done. So somebody maybe doesn't fit for this one, but for something else. Let's be thoughtful as a Christian community to where people fit. So let's develop a strong board. And to develop a board of learning members, I've got some tips for that a little later as well. But I think that people that think they've arrived and now they're going to sit on the throne are going to shortchange their effectiveness. And then board members should promote and maintain strong ties to the supporting church and community. So the responsibility is partly to the staff and the school. It's partly to the sponsors. And there's a balance to be had in all these different foci. So I'm wearing the hat of governance, we'll say tonight. And this is the true essence of board work. I mean, this might not even be the complete list, but these things are on the list of responsibilities for the board, and we can't delegate it anywhere else. Sometimes board members put on another hat. I'll put on another hat. Sometimes board members volunteer. There's nothing wrong with board members volunteering. There's lots to do. But let's think about these things together. You know, there is what's called the working board. So on the left here, I've written working boards. So if we wear the volunteer hat, let's recognize that, yes, it can happen. It may often happen. It can be a good thing, but let's put up some safeguards for our thinking here. While board members may volunteer, they need to govern. And if you don't want to govern, then don't serve on the board, because it's not an option to volunteer out and not govern. When you need a board member, recruit a board member. When you need a volunteer, recruit a volunteer. And let's know the difference in the hats that we're wearing. So if board policy manuals and agendas and parliamentary procedures, if you use some simple form of that, If these are boring and your calling and your gifting and passion are in serving, then volunteer. It's perfectly godly to volunteer to run the saw and shovel, or to clean the bathrooms, or unplug the sewers, and so on. Those are things that board members can do. There are things that many people can do, but let's just divide between the hats. Let's figure it out. Volunteer service must be passion-based and aligned with the volunteer's spiritual gifts and strengths. And a board member's primary focus should be on the governance hat. Only the board can govern, while many can volunteer. And when a board member volunteers, he must leave his governance hat in the boardroom. You take that one off. When you go to the boardroom, you put this one on. And you don't wear this thing out and about either. This is for the boardroom. And when you volunteer, you put on the volunteer hat. Just to help illustrate some of the waters we need to navigate if we're going to be effective as a school board. Well, there's also the possibility that sometimes the school is so small that the board chairman takes on some sort of another staff or supervision advisory role. If he does that, then we need another hat. So let's say it's this hat. So, but remember, only the board can govern. Board members may wear this principal hat or recruit and hire teachers and other staff, which if it's a bigger school, the board will hire only one, the principal. And the principal or head teacher makes the other hires. That's one model. Not going to say there's only one model, but let's remember when we're talking about working boards that we have to divide between the hats. It's helpful to me to think about which hat I'm wearing. And so it's going to be helpful for you when you combine roles is to think about which hat am I wearing today, and then help the constituents to know that now I'm speaking as a principal or as a staff member if I'm teaching. Board members may also be treasurers and pay the bills, perhaps, or teach a class, or lead or attend staff meetings, or recruit volunteers or hire services, so sort of the manager, the administrator, and they may speak and lead chapel services. But when a board member serves in a staff or administrative role, he must leave this administrative hat in the boardroom. There are some more that could be said there, but for now I'm going to leave it there. So think about it. If you're combining responsibilities, it's good for you to be able to admit to yourself, now today I'm a staff person. Now today I'm a volunteer. Now today I'm this and more. But when I come to the boardroom, then is when I put on the governance hat. Now, sometimes we wear another hat. We'll call this one the participation hat. So I enjoyed going to Kenya. I have a Kenya hat. But that's not really what I'm going to call it today. It's the participant hat. Board members sometimes are expected to wear a participant hat. They're to help or to attend and assist at school functions, say it's a graduation. And if board members are expected to do these kinds of things, last day picnics or whatever, it's good to mention to them when they're signing on to the responsibility that there are some participation hats or responsibilities that they wear too. Sometimes it's a chapel assignment or other fundraising and so on. And affirmations of these duties can be covered in a member, an annual board member affirmation statement if you would like to have some sort of a trigger to remind everybody that these are the things that we share and that we do together. So we've got the participant hat, and I'm losing out on some of the other hats here. Didn't bring the five, fifth, and the sixth one. But sometimes a board member is a parent. Maybe many times he's a parent. And so sometimes he needs to realize, you know, I've got to be putting on a parent hat. So now I'm a parent. And another time, maybe that person or somebody else is a pastor. So he puts on his pastor hat. And here's where it sometimes really gets interesting. Either of these two. But parents can get emotionally wrapped up in their own children's needs. And it can be a challenge for a parent that's also a board member to be able to join in and lead for the good of the whole. So it's wise for board members that are parents to, if they feel they need to speak as a parent, it's very wise for them to say that I speak now as a parent. And symbolically, I'm putting on my parent hat. It's also wise for that board member to realize that there are appropriate times for him to abstain from participation in the final disposition or voting in the resolution of this certain issue, because he's wisely learning to divide between the hats. And if he can learn to divide between the hats and speak as a parent when he knows he's speaking as a parent, and then speak as a board member when he's has fairly listened to all of the discussion, he can cast his voice for that. But it's probably even more tricky when somebody wears the pastor hat. And I wouldn't be surprised that I'm not the only one here that's represented the pastors of the congregation on to the school board, but I did that for a number of years. I've also heard of some sad stories of where ministers, even bishops, have sat on advisory council, as a ministerial advisor on, say, an interconstituency board, and put pressure on the processes, criticized the administrator, and threatened to withhold constituent support if his wishes weren't bowed to. That kind of power play is an abuse of spiritual power. And a tremendous melting together of all of these hats that board members may be wearing. And I call all of you who are pastors to think carefully for how you put pressure on organizations and staff that are not becoming the children of God. Again, we're talking about, it doesn't matter so much how we structure everything, maybe that's going to be perfect, but it matters even more what the culture is, and do we have respect for the institution of the school and the school board and do we find our place in a way that's constructive? So here I'm thinking about, what am I doing here? Going backwards? I'm reviewing here, yes I am. So we have here the review of the governance hat. And I call us to a respectful vision, a respect for the office, and to pick up the responsibility with humility and enthusiasm for the privilege of serving God and the church in this way, that we can lead in such a way that our staff and our children can flourish. Governance is the essence of board work. And I don't know if these kinds of things, concepts, have helped you in your service, but I pray that it can. And I also invite questions that you might have, because it is true that one size doesn't quite fit all, but I think the principles need to be carefully thought out and applied. I open it for your input or comment.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.